This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. There are plenty of things to consider while coming up with a solid retirement plan. Understanding some of the benefits out there for Canadians is a pretty good start. One of these benefits is old age security. Aurel Crissel is Assistant Vice President of Tax and Estate Planning at IG Wealth Management. He's here to explain the government benefit and, in particular, how to minimize clawbacks, which, of course, make people crazy. Hello there.
Hello.
I am about 30,000 years away from this being relevant to me because I'm the ripe old age of I'm not telling you. What is old age security and who gets it?
Old age security is a federal government benefit, and it is paid by the federal government to individuals who meet certain criteria. The first criteria is you have to be at least 65 years of age or older. You also have to be a Canadian citizen or a legal resident, and you have to meet certain residency requirements. So essentially, you have to have resided in Canada for at least 10 years since the age of 18. That will get you into some benefits under the old age
right.
security program. To get maximum benefits, then you must have lived in Canada essentially for 40 years.
Right.
If you've lived between 40 and 10 years since you've been the age of 18, you'll get a prorated benefit. So you'll get something. You just won't get the full benefit.
And different versus CPP in that CPP is connected to income, to what you paid into the Canada Pension Plan over the years, correct?
Correct. CPP and QPP, for that matter, for individuals in Quebec, is a contributory system, so the individuals contribute to the plan, and in return, they will receive benefits upon their retirement. They can usually age 65, it could be as early as 60, or it could be as late as 70. The OAS program, however, is completely funded by general government revenue. There's no contributions that are made. You can start at 65. You can actually defer OAS until you're 70 if you wish. That's an option. And if you defer, you actually get more, so you get 0.6% bonus per month that you defer all the way to age 70. So you could get up to 36% more than you would have received at age 65 if you defer. That's a choice you can make.
Now, give us the range here. I mean, this is not, you are not wintering in Saint-Tropez on your OAS payment. What's the maximum amount?
On this alone, no. The amounts are indexed quarterly. So, for example, from January 1st to March 31st of this year, the monthly payment is $613.53.
Right. So it's not a huge amount of money.
It's not a huge amount of money. It certainly helps. And it's income tested. So you're not guaranteed to receive it if you're making what the government would consider to be too much money. And so essentially for 2020, the floor has been set at just above $79,000. So if you're making under $79,000, you'll get your $613 a month, and the government will not take any of it back. But if you're making what's considered net income for tax purposes above $79,054, then they will claw back that monthly payment at a rate of 15%, so 15 cents for every dollar of income you make above that $79,000. So for all intents and purposes, based on the amount that individuals would receive between January and March of 2020, you would get some of the OAS above $79,000, but it would be clawed back and it would completely disappear when you're making just above $128,000.
Right. So 70, call it in the mid-70s and in the mid-120s are the real milestone income amounts that a lot of retirees are trying to minimize. And I think this is a really appropriate question. What are some of the strategies that seniors could employ to reduce or eliminate that clawback?
Well, there are actually quite a few. So I'll list a few. Some are a little more obvious than others. So, for example, if you
don't report your income to the government and live off, you know, in the hidden black market economy, is that one that IG Wealth Management endorses? Probably.
That is not one that
Just checking.
No. One is, however, because you can't receive OAS until you're 65 years of age, you're probably going to receive your CPP or QPP benefits as well. And if you're receiving that and you have a spouse or common law partner, you can actually ask the government to split that between the two spouses. So if I was a higher income earner and I would receive more CPP than my spouse would, I could ask the government to kind of equalize those payments for the years that we've actually been together, so that my CPP would be less and her CPP would be more. So if I'm receiving less of the income, I have less to report. And if we're into the clawback ranges, I am and she's not, then right. I can reduce my clawback without her having any negative impact. So it's all about trying to shift that income to the lower income spouse. Right. So you can do that with CPP and QPP. You can also do pension income splitting. Pension income splitting would be if you're receiving a government pension or an employer pension, or if you're at least 65 years of age and getting income from your registered retirement income fund, so your RIF or a locked-in LIF plan. That you don't ask the government to do. It's just when you file your tax return, if you're receiving some eligible income, you can actually split up to 50% of that income with your spouse, with your lower income spouse. And again, it's about trying to get the higher income spouse out of, or at least reduce the clawback of the OAS without impacting the lower income spouse's clawback as well.
The mandatory RIF withdrawals are what get a lot of people really annoyed, because it becomes, is there anything you can do on that front, or is that just the reality of it? If you've built up a massive nest egg and you've got your minimum withdrawal, you may boot the OAS out of your income stream.
You may, but there's some planning you can do, because for all intents and purposes, you have no choice but to start receiving RIF minimum payments after the year in which you turn 71 years of age, so starting at age 72 and beyond. There's a minimum you'll have to withdraw from your RIF. But a lot of people don't know or don't realize is that if you have a younger spouse or common law partner, you can base those minimums on the age of that spouse, not your own. So, for example, if I'm 72 years of age, I now have to withdraw a minimum amount from my RIF based on my age. If I have a 65-year-old spouse, I can base it on the – I can say I want my minimum based on the 65-year-old spouse, not 72-year-old individual. And the percentages are lower the younger you are. So my minimum would be less. And that will continue as long as I have that younger spouse. So I can ask that that minimum be set at that age, and it will mean I will have to withdraw a lot less because of the younger spouse's age. So yes, you have to withdraw a minimum, but at the same time, you can ask that that minimum be reduced.
Some entrepreneurs will be paying themselves in retirement through corporations, and some will choose to do that in the form of a dividend versus a salary. Does that change the dynamic?
It does, because any dividend, any Canadian source dividend that's received by an individual is subject to what's considered a gross up. So if you receive a $1,000 dividend, whether it's from your own company or from owning publicly traded securities or mutual funds, you don't include $1,000 in your income. You actually include $1,000 plus the gross up. Mm. Now, the gross up depends on the type of dividend, but for example, eligible dividends, you have to gross it up by 38%. So my $1,000 dividend is no longer $1,000 that's reported on my tax return. It's actually $1,380. So even though cash is $1,000, I have to report more, and that clawback is based on that grossed up number. So dividend income, although tax preferred because you actually get a dividend tax credit, can be detrimental if you're receiving OAS benefits. So the strategy could be maybe pay yourself a salary from your business if that works better, or if you own publicly traded securities, stocks, mutual funds, explore with your advisor whether there are ways to invest that may minimize that dividend income and maybe have more growth if that fits in your portfolio better.
There's a lot of discussion about the value of financial advice. Aurel, I think you have proven that for retirees in particular, there's real value in having a second eye, especially on how you optimize benefits as a retiree. Thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Aurel Crissell, Assistant Vice President of Tax and Estate Planning at IG Wealth Management. He's here to talk about old age security and some strategies you might be able to use to minimize the clawback.